They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today, after several tries, I am delighted to have Dr. Gary Solomon with us today. Gary, thank you so much for your patience, for your friendship, for your support, for just being you, an amazing gentleman. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, 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 and welcome. It's always a delight to work with you any way that I can. And, you know, work trying to get some solution here to a national crisis.
Well, you're right. I mean, it is a national crisis, and it's something that we've been trying very hard to figure out how to deal with. And so far, we don't seem to have much going.
No, there is simply too much money on the profit picture. With that, it's very difficult to get people to do the right thing. And this has been the case ever since I started working on this years ago.
So you have some ideas on where we should go from here, what we should do, and how we should handle it.
Yes, I do.
All right. You want to tell us?
Make
us almost as smart as you.
All right. So I would ask your listening audience and anybody who hears this after the fact to hear that we have gone over and over and over again the problem. We have talked about the problem too many times. Everybody's got it. It's a problem. And we are slowly but surely driving ourselves over the edge. Now, that's good for me and my business, but it's not good for other people, and it's not the way to live. So let's spend some time on your show working on solutions. Here we go.
I like that. All right.
Here we go. The one of the problems that exists is that the homeowners associations have on their side what is known as a super priority lien. What that means is that if a lien is filed against the home or property, their lien supersedes anybody else's lien. Bank of America, Chase, Citi, any lien. So now they've got a lien on the home for, let's say, $10,000. They decide to foreclose. They then supersede the banks and anybody and foreclose on that property for $10,000 free and clear.
Yeah.
Now, what this should tell the audience is there's a tremendous incentive not to solve this problem. That is to say, there are people all over the country now gathered together nationally who work on foreclosing on these properties, and they are making a small fortune. The incentive to get them to stop doing it simply does not exist at this point. Government intervention has been non-existent. The law has not stepped in place. I will suggest and say that I believe that the law is involved in what they're doing.
Well, I was going to say, I disagree with you, because the law has enabled all of this, and they keep doing that. They keep empowering associations and allowing all of these homeowners or homeowner associations and their attorneys, and they're the big bad guys to do this.
Let's go above that. Let's go to the judges. Who's getting the payola? Who's getting the money under the table? Who's getting the money in the firm? There is no money on the homeowner's side. None. There is all the money on the association side. And that money goes into the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
All right.
Billions.
Now that we've cut the short speech on that, what do we do? Well, I'm going to offer a couple of solutions here.
Okay.
The first one is, anyone who is over the age of 62 can file what is known as a reverse mortgage. Now, what a reverse mortgage does is that it refinances the property, whether you own it free and clear or whether you have a loan on it, and it puts a mortgage on the property where you are paid, the homeowner is paid, you don't pay the mortgage company. So you are now able to put money in your pocket that you did not have before. But here's the real key point. Now this loan on the property is a federal loan. And the super priority lien cannot lock out of the federal loan. That means that that federal loan is going to stay in place no matter what the homeowners association does. So they're going to have to get in line. If there's a $100,000 reverse mortgage on the property, well, they're going to have to stand behind that $100,000, not in front of it. This puts the homeowner in a tremendous, strong position. They no longer have to be frightened about what will happen to them. Let's go to step two. Let us assume for a moment that the homeowner is not over this age of 62, but that the homeowner has children who are over the age of 62 now. Take the property and deed it to the children. Let the children file for the reverse mortgage. Now, this comes with a caveat, and that is that there are several technical things that have to be done to qualify for this mortgage that the children would need to do. But it can be done. Once the children, remember I'm calling children 62 and older children.
Yeah.
Once they have filed for the reverse mortgage, they can return that property to the parents. I'm sorry, they can return the property back to their children.
Okay.
So let me say it again in case it's gotten confusing. The children, the individuals who own the property are not over the age of 62. But their parents are. And so they deed the property to their parents. Once it's in the hand of the parents.
Okay, that makes more sense now. Okay.
They can file for the reverse mortgage. And I believe the confusion was caused by me. I said children when it should have been parents.
Yeah, and then I'm going, wait a minute, this isn't making a whole lot of sense. But no, now it makes perfectly good sense.
Right. And so now that that's the case, the parents are in a position to file for that reverse mortgage. Once they've got that reverse mortgage, they can in turn return it to their children. And so now a person from the outside comes screaming and yelling in the room, wait a minute, you can't do that. You've got this. And what I'm here to tell you is that it can be done, and it's done all the time for people that know what they're doing. And the individuals that fund the reverse mortgage are the small lenders, not the large lenders, because they only do things that are the easiest way to do them. You need to have people on your team that are willing to work you through the process. So now we've got two possibilities to work through. Both of them have the same end result. Get a federal loan onto your property and stop the super priority lien from being used on the property.
Gary, you know, it seems like, from my point of view, and I know it's going to be extremely difficult, we have to pull the plug on these things. We have to pull the plug on these things. Just strip them of all their powers, because they'll find another way of getting in there. And we're just going to be constantly trying to keep one step ahead. We've got to strip the powers away. And the way we need to do that is for the homeowners to stand up and take it back. Stop buying into the notion that these things protect property values. They really don't.
Yes.
Stop being lied to. Stop being gullible. Nobody's going to take care of you. They're stripping you of everything you own. Don't lay down and take it.
Let's talk for a minute about who are the people that are doing this. The individuals that are doing this, that is the people on the boards, the people who are doing the foreclosures, these are sick people. And you say, well, what do you mean by sick? And the answer is, you're looking at people who suffer from antisocial personality disorder. And that's why they can do this, because they can sleep at night knowing the harm they've caused. So they'll foreclose on the property that has three children living in it and put those people on the street so that the children that they've got can live a better life. The people on the boards, they get a tremendous sense of power from doing this. Power and authority. Those people who are listening, who have tried being in meetings where there are these kinds of problems and tried to have discussion, the boards do everything they can to shut them up.
Yeah.
And so they refuse to talk to them, or no, you can't say that at this meeting, or no, you can't bring your attorney to this meeting, and on and on. So it becomes a tremendous sense of power and authority that comes with the antisocial personality disorder. Now add to that the technical diagnosis of narcissism. That is to say, with this diagnosis, we have antisocial personality disorder with narcissistic features. What does that mean? It means that the individual is entirely focused on the self. Everything that exists in life revolves around them. This is the narcissism. Couple the narcissism with the ability to harm other people by cheating them, and you have a recipe for disaster. This does not exist just in homeowners associations. All over the world, there are public officials in high places stealing millions and millions of dollars from the people because they can.
Yes. Yes.
And it takes a very special person to be in office who sees that office as, I'm not here to steal, I'm here to help. And we have, I believe, put in motion the promotion of these people who look for these positions. They're very easy for me to spot now that I've studied this. Your listeners should know that I've written several papers on the subject. Go on to type my name, Professor Gary Solomon, HOA syndrome, and you'll see all the papers I've written on this. The harm to the families, the harm to the children, what I call equity theft, is an important paper to read. All of these concepts need to be understood so that we can communicate with each other. Furthermore, there are other therapists out there like myself who are more aware of it now. They've done the research. They've read the paper. They understand.
Yeah.
If we can unite those therapists together.
Yes, I agree.
The goal would be to have a group of people to call who in turn can network to local therapists, because I need to tell your listening audience, you don't want to do this without a therapist. This is too strenuous. This requires a tremendous amount of emotional stability, and you are not going to be someone who is weak simply because you are brought to tears with this, simply because you're losing sleep at night or having arguments with your spouse or children. I wrote a paper on child abuse by proxy.
Yes, you did.
And what this means is parents who are under stress as a result of their homeowners association, who now are taking it out on the children. Happening too often. Happening too much. Now here comes the real future nightmare. These children that are going through this with their parents, when they get older, they know what caused this. And they're going to retaliate. And they're going to retaliate with violence. And so the homeowners association will say, why did that happen? Why did they attack that member of the board? Why?
Yeah.
And the answer is because they bred a generation of people who now want justice. If I were that board, I'd be very, very cautious not to look the other way on those people. And every war that's ever existed as a result of the next generation saying, I've had it. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And then they retaliate.
That's interesting. You've said that before, but it is the next generation. Because as you know, I've always worried about what we're teaching our kids, how we're raising our kids, by letting them watch the parents be afraid of answering the door, answering the phone, getting the mail. I mean, people are living in constant fear. If you live in an HOA, you're living in fear.
Yes.
And
yes.
To raise your family and to bring up your children in an atmosphere where the parents are scared, instead of being the people who are going to give you the strength and give you the ability to face each day, you're watching them cower in a corner. I mean, I've had people call me, and I'm sure you have as well, they're whispering. They're whispering in the phone because they're afraid somebody's going to overhear them from the house next door. Or that their houses are being bugged and they're desperate for help and they don't know where to turn. So they reach out to someone like me. They don't know me. I'm not qualified. Mm-hmm. I'm not qualified to give them that help.
Right.
I just tell them, don't
You know, don't let the bullies get you.
And the incredible problem that exists for a homeowner and is an incredible bonus for the association is, as soon as a problem occurs about the home, the trash can, the lawn, the paint, they blame it on their neighbor because they think they did it. They caused it.
Yeah.
They called. And so the homeowners association is laughing at this.
Well, you know, when I got involved with my homeowners association initially, because I'd lived there for many, many years, and I'd ignored them, they'd ignored me, and we lived happily ever after. But they weren't ignoring my neighbors, and I didn't like that, and I don't like bullies. So look at what that led me to 30 years later. I'm sitting here talking to you. So, but when I went talking to people in the neighborhood, just getting to know them, knocking on doors and talking to them, I had two neighbors who'd lived next to each other for years. And they both told me that one of them would report the friend to the association. The association would send the friend a letter. The friend would get the letter, go to the other friend who'd reported them in the first place and said, "Can you believe this? Who do you think would do a thing like this?" "Oh, I don't know who would do that." But they were doing it to each other, Gary. They were doing it to each other. They were both turning each other in.
Yes.
What are we creating? What have we created?
Yes.
And otherwise they were friends.
Mm-hmm. It is something that people are not looking at the cause. I go back to the antisocial personality with narcissistic features. This is a diagnosis. This isn't something that is being made up.
No.
This is a diagnosis. And therefore, to understand this is to understand what's happening.
Yeah. And how can we get people? I always have said that there's more of us than there are of them.
Yes, there are.
And if we didn't cower in the corner, and if we stood up and said, "You're not going to do this anymore. You know, your reign of terror ends right here, right now, forever."
Right.
But we're too afraid to do that. And that's what I want to get over. That's what I want to stop. That's what I want to empower people to do. How do we do that?
My observation about this is that the individuals, the homeowners, are so buried in trying to live life. Get up, go to work, come home, take out the trash, take the kids to the park, go to the game, and so on and so forth. And they haven't got any more room left in their life to deal with these kinds of problems or education. I attempted to start a class to teach this. And at the very end, the city pulled the class.
Why?
They felt that there was no insurance company that would back up what I was saying in case there was a secondary or primary cause to what they had learned. And this, as near as I can tell, has been something that's taken place throughout the country. There are others like me who have a large knowledge base. I'm not the only one anymore. And putting the class together, being able to do this, would have united people. I have done lectures at it. I was a professor at the college, and so I offered lectures in the evening, and the rooms were packed. But at the end, what I was left with was a room full of people who were telling the story about what's happening to them and not listening to the solution. And this is also a very difficult problem to break. Let's stop talking about the problem. Let's start keeping with the solution. Simple statement. Being abused by your homeowners association. What do you need to do to protect yourself? All right, let's look at the reverse mortgage. Let's figure that out. Stop talking and telling the story.
I think there's something cathartic about getting it off your chest. And that's,
yes.
And that's why I started a website called From the HOA Trenches, because
yes.
I want people to write their stories in their own words. I'm not keen on doing horror story shows anymore, because I think, once in a while, okay, but I don't want to desensitize people. I don't want them to hear the horror stories over and over again and think that that's normal.
Right.
So I'm...
Or it's my turn to tell my story.
Yeah, oh yeah. But I'm backing away from that. I mean, I've done it and I will do it occasionally. But I want people to put it on that website. And the reason I want it there is because the industry will always say it's an isolated incident. So I want the legislators to be able to go there and see the same stories from different people in different states over and over and over again, just so they understand there really and truly is a problem. And it is not, as the industry will have them believe, an isolated incident. I also
right.
think that it's cathartic for the homeowners to get it off their chests, get it out there, share it. Tell your story. Whether anybody reads mm-hmm. it or not is immaterial. You've got it off your chest. Do
right.
away with it. But you know, come back and stand tall. Don't let them beat you down.
Right. And to do this, people need to, again, stay focused on the solution, organize,
yeah.
get others together, and meet, and stop talking about the problem and focus on the solution.
You know, years ago we started an organization, and you can go to different places. Libraries will have room. A number of government municipalities will have large rooms. You can rent it for free.
Mm-hmm.
And you can invite people. I mean, we used to put stuff out, but that was before the days of the internet. I mean, we'd do public service announcements on different radio stations and say, we'll be there, come and talk to us. And we had people coming from, I live in Virginia, but we had people from West Virginia, we had people from Maryland, we had people from Pennsylvania, we had people from D.C., all who would come and they would stand there. I mean, there was nothing there for them. There was no one, nowhere they could turn. So there are things you can do. You don't have to just, get a free room and just put something out on social media. You can put it out on, call the local talk shows. Get that out there and get people in. Talk about, let them talk about their problems, but talk about the solutions.
Right.
Talk about what they're going to do and how they're going
right.
to handle it, and support each other and have each other's backs
mm-hmm.
and understand what they're dealing with. I mean, you can't just run around. The problem isn't one board member, and I've had people tell me that. The problem isn't one board member. It's the whole rotten system.
Yes, yes, I completely agree. While it may take one individual on the board to motivate the others on the board, at the end, you have an organization that's sick. And the remarkable thing about this is that these sick organizations that are full of, that have these people on them that are sick, have children living in homeowners associations where it's being done to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they love it.
Yeah, it's perpetuating. I had someone quite high up in CAI tell me that his parents had bought it, were being harassed by their HOA, but he, you know, hey, it's a simple problem. I just explained their rights to them, and away we went. I'm going, really? And how many people have, you know, it's just, they think it's nothing. They were able to help their parents, but the thing is, they're going to be there one day. And I tell them, one day, it's going to be you. You're going to be there, and you're going to be harassed, and you're going to be abused, and you're the one who set it up.
Right. Right. I do feel so sorry for the future generations that are buying in homeowners associations. And, you know, Shu, I think you know this, but I don't know if your listening audience knows it. Many states, now won't allow homes to be built that are not in homeowners associations.
Yeah, they've got mandates because it benefits the local municipalities.
Yes.
It's all
and
about
with
money.
And with that going, yes, it is all about money. So now there isn't any choice. And with that, those municipalities are going to backtrack into subdivisions, and they're going to divide those subdivisions out. They're going to turn them into homeowners associations. Now, instead of the municipality stepping in and saying, we're going to take over the management, we're going to oversee these on a governmental level, they don't. They turn their backs. And, well, it will be one disaster after another.
The one story that I love, it started off as an absolute horror story, and it ended up as a model solution. And that's where the homeowners got together and they amended the governing documents. And what they did was they stripped the HOA of all its powers. They were not able to sunset or rescind or shutter the HOA completely. It's still there on the books. But the HOA has next to no powers whatsoever. They're allowed to collect enough money to pay for the maintenance of a one-acre lot and pay the insurance on it. That's it. That's pretty much all they're allowed to do. And all of a sudden, the neighbors are working together, and they're friends, and they're having Christmas parties in each other's houses. It's a really pleasant place to live. But it was a war zone. So you don't, I mean, okay, so you've got the structure, you've got the HOA there, you've got the governing documents, the declaration, which is what gives these monsters their powers. But you know what? You can amend them. It's not going to be easy, not by a long shot, but you can amend them. You can strip the HOA of all its powers.
Yes.
It's good, you know, you're going to have to make a career of it for a couple of years, but
get rid of it. It is so sad.
It is
so sad.
And you know what? You're not going to be able to get the legislators. It would be nice if we could get the legislators to say, all right, we're just going to strip the HOAs of all those powers. That you know, there's going to be all kinds of court cases, and oh well, this is a contractual right, and you don't have the right to interfere with it. But you know, when you come up with enabling legislation, they don't seem to worry about that sort of stuff.
Well, look, we have the situation, and it's not going to change on its own. And people must get together and must work together to try and solve and work with others who need help and get on the phone and make sure that there is support.
How can homeowners support each other, Gary? If you have homeowners in California, you have them in New York, you have them in Florida, you have them in Timbuktu and all over the place, and people are reaching out across state lines for help. How can a regular person, not a psychologist, not an attorney, but Harry homeowner, actually help and support someone who's going through this mess?
On its simplest level, it's reaching out and being there for others. Look, if we compare ourselves to other organizations and other times and other experiences over life, in life, these answers did not come about overnight, but rather took decades and centuries to solve. It took us decades to get to this point. It's going to take decades to unring the bell.
I like that. Decades to unring the bell. Actually, we've been trying to unring the bell ever since the damn thing started. But
we must make ourselves available to others and be sure that we try to help and not turn our backs. And we must stop talking about the problem and focus on the solution.
What, by helping, sometimes I've seen homeowners try to be helpful and they've created more of a mess by not knowing what they're doing. I mean, they think they know what they're doing and they come up with all this advice that's really quite detrimental to the situation, and they absolutely will not listen.
Right.
It's nice to have people out there, but you want to make sure that they're really helping and not making a bigger mess.
You know, it is a question, I believe, of doing the research, getting the people to read the articles that are online. I'm not the only one that has written research. Read the articles first. Don't come to these simple solutions and then try and work them. Read the background and understand what you're getting into. And hopefully that will help instead of creating more frustration than you've already got.
Yeah, because sometimes we'll talk to people and they're just a mess.
Yeah.
They'll decide that this is the problem and this is the solution, and in fact, it's neither the problem and it's far away from the solution. It's just going to compound the problem.
That is absolutely correct.
And you just can't get them to simmer down, to slow down. They think they know it. They've been there. They've done it. They know it. They know how to handle this.
Yes. So terribly difficult. And getting people to unite, letting people know that it's okay, to let the neighborhood know that there is an organization that has been put together to try and help and support the neighborhood. But because the neighborhood lives in fear, for the most part, these things aren't done. So people don't start these organizations. Again, going back in concentration camps, the name of the game was don't say a word, keep your mouth shut, stay quiet, hide in the cellar. Non-stop avoidance.
Yeah.
The other thing that would be very helpful is if those people who have money would start creating a organization and donating money to that organization so that it can build a resource for others. And this is another way that things have gotten done. If there is someone out there or others out there who have a resource It could be an inheritance. It could be a business that they had, any number of things. And now, with that, they in turn can start some kind of an organization which can be there for the better good. This would be helpful.
And what would the organization do?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, what do you think would... I mean, I can think of a million and one things that an organization would do, but what do you think would be the most helpful?
The most helpful is going to be a place to go, an outlet, some place to call. If you will, the Better Business Bureau. But they don't take any calls on this.
No, they don't. I've been hearing from people who are frustrated with the Better Business Bureau.
Even though they should be the number one place, they don't take the calls on this. So if an organization can be created that will take the calls and in turn forward onto others a network of people who can help them with the problems in their area, this will be the way to go about it. We need therapists and psychiatrists and psychologists in these areas. We need attorneys in the area who will take on these cases. It isn't going to work if it's done with one attorney or one therapist in some place
right
in the middle of the United States. I can take the call and I can listen to it, but I can't do a whole lot sitting here in Henderson, Nevada, while I'm trying to talk to someone in New York.
Yeah. No, and that's how I feel about it. I mean, I'm sitting here in Virginia, and I get calls from all over the place with problems. I don't know the laws in other states. I know a little bit about some states, but, you know, you really need an attorney who's going to be able to tell you what your legal rights are. You're really going to need someone who's trained and able to give you the kind of help that you only you and your fellow therapists can give.
Right. Turning to your local government is a false sense of support.
Oh, yeah.
And accepting that they are not going to help and they're not going to do anything for you is key to not getting caught up in a solution that's going to backfire on you.
You don't want a solution, but you do want to call them and you want to let them know, because sometimes when you just have enough calls, people are going to sit up and say, "All right, what is going on? I've been getting a whole lot of calls."
And well, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. Something that will cause that change.
But when there was, unfortunately, she died, but she was a very, very good person. She ran in a special election for state, for a state position, and the minute she was elected, she said her phone started ringing with people calling and complaining about HOAs. And she called me and she said, "I don't know what to do, Sue." And so she hosted immediately. She hosted an open session and invited everyone there. And I took Frank with me. And so she said, "I just want to hear questions," because Frank's stood up and said, "You know, the local government has given, or the state government has given associations the power to fine and foreclose, to collect that fine." And, "Oh, we wouldn't do that." But she says, "I just want questions." He says, "All right. Did you know that the state government has done that?" She said, "No, we wouldn't do that." So she had a CAI attorney there. And she said, "He's an attorney. He knows what he's talking about." Of course, Frank's an attorney and knows what he's talking about as well. And he said, "Yep, the gentleman is absolutely correct." And she was absolutely horrified. She was terrific. She was on our side. But the thing was, she was bombarded with complaints from people, and she had no idea.
what they were talking about, what the problem was, how to go about fixing it. And so she was smart enough to reach out and try to find out what had happened, right, what was going on.
Well, we have to keep up the fight.
So,
and we have to keep doing this. And it's people like you that are staying with us and not just doing one show and then that's it, but rather staying with it year after year. And that's what I've attempted to do too.
You've been there right with me, Gary, haven't you?
I've tried never to use the word no with you.
No, you haven't. You've never used that with me. You've always been there for me, always. And I do appreciate that a lot more than you'll ever know.
Well, you're the kind of winner that I want on my team.
Ha, I don't know. I'm still doing the same thing, trying to get someplace.
Well, you know, you're doing it. And it may not seem like you're winning, but step by step, you're doing it.
Step by step. How can we convince people that they really, ultimately, they have the power? It's the homeowners, it's my neighbors, it's your neighbors, it's you, it's me. We do have the power.
I don't think that we can convince those people until they become educated. And I'll return back to the reading of the articles. People need to become educated. And this has been the theme throughout the world. Educate the people, make them aware, and change will happen.
Step one is educate.
I'm sorry?
Step one is educate.
Step one is educate. Step one is educate. No question about it. And to do that, you must reach out and educate yourself right now. I've kept those articles up there posted. I don't receive any money for them. I don't allow money to be paid for them. They're there. Use them.
I have some of them on my website, which you gave me right at the very beginning, and they're still there, but I think you've written a lot more since then. Can you give us the website
sure, and
where people can find it?
Sure. Just type in Professor Gary Solomon, HOA.com, and you will be able to hit the site quickly.
So it's Professor Gary. Do you write out Professor the whole?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. But you'll also get it by simply typing HOA.com.
So HOA.com. Okay. So Professor Gary Solomon, HOA.com. Mm-hmm. And you will get a whole slew of really, really, really good articles and explanations of what's going on and what the deal is.
Yeah.
And how to handle all of this stuff, in essence.
And we just keep trying.
But you have to be educated. The other thing I want everyone to know is that just because the association says and or does something, it doesn't mean they have that power. They may think they have it, mm-hmm, but they derive their power. And you have your rights in the declaration. Get a copy from the land records to make, because that's the only one that's valid. And check it out and ask the association, please cite your authority.
Right.
By what authority are you doing this?
And so difficult to get people to maintain the courage to follow through.
It is, and especially if you're nervous and you're scared, and you know, again, Gary, we go back to fear. I think it's,
yep,
through fear that so many people are controlled.
Yeah. so much money. If the money were taken off the table, this would all change. And that's why I've asked over and over again, let the government step in, the municipalities, and let the governments take over the management of the associations. It would all change.
But the reason we have the associations is because they don't want to take over the management. They want the money, but they don't want to do a damn thing for it.
That's exactly correct. And so we've got to push me, pull you. And damned if you do and damned if you don't.
And we've allowed them to do it. And we keep forgetting that they work for us, not the other way around. We don't work for them, but that's the way it's working out right now.
That's true.
Hold them accountable, guys.
Yes.
Hold them accountable. They're not the bosses.
Keep up the good fight.
They're not the bosses. You know, fight back. You've got to fight back, Gary. We've got to fight back.
Yes.
I don't know how else to say this. I don't know how else to do this. I don't want people to be outrageous because they lose credibility. But as you said, do your homework, get educated, know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you know what you're talking about, just make sense.
Yes.
Because some people just ramble on with nothing.
Yes.
Any other thoughts? I'm doing all the talking right now.
I think we've covered it. I want people to know that I'm here. If you want to give out my phone number to anyone, please feel free to do that.
Well, I will definitely talk to them first. And I know you've always said that, and you've always said that you'd be willing. And I love the way you answer your phone. How may I help you? And that's always, always how you answer the phone is, hello, how may I help you?
Well, to me, at the end of the day, or whether it be that or at the end of my life, I got to know that I did good.
I think you did good. I think you did good. And you know what, Gary? Together, you and I, we're going to get this done.
That's certainly my hope.
We're going to get it done.
I'm not looking for flags being waved, saying hurrah, hurrah for Dr. Solomon. I'm looking to see that it gets done. It just gets done.
Gary, if you have access to a lot of other therapists, like-minded therapists who are willing to assist in some way and have it done state by state. I mean, you were talking about having this network.
Yes.
Let me know how you can, if you need any help with putting that together. If there are any psychologists listening in today and would like to help, please get involved.
I appreciate that, and I will let you know.
And
as we keep up the fight, I will let you know.
Because I know that people are going to need more professional help than I can give them.
Yes.
I mean, I can direct them to the paperwork, but that's about it. I'm not an attorney either.
And for me, it's more local help. So while I'm sitting here again in Henderson, Nevada, I can't help the individual unless I'm right there. I can do some phone support, but at the end, I have to say, call a therapist, make an appointment, and start doing some therapy for yourself.
And sometimes it's good to have a referral, or sometimes it's good to have a network or something. You know, so if you end up with that, if you talk to people, say, Shu, there's someone here who's willing in, you know, wherever they are, who's willing to help out.
so then I don't want anyone to get overwhelmed, and I know how that can happen. Yeah.
That's right. We get to a point in the conversation where we feel like how many times can we say this? And it becomes a brokered record. Get help, organize, call, support others.
Yeah.
Help.
Gary, you are amazing. I am so glad you're back on the show. It's been a while. I hope it won't be that long. Anytime. I appreciate that. But we've made it through an hour. And the phones actually worked. We have. And the phones actually worked after three. Yeah. After three attempts, we finally did it. We made it.
Third time's a charm.
Something like that. But anyway, thank you so very much, Gary.
You are welcome. It's a pleasure.
Thanks to everyone for tuning in.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.